Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
So I was listening to a song by Jelly Roll, and I just got way cooler for some of you out there, right? And some of you are like, Jelly Roll? Who's that? This is Jelly Roll right here. And some of you are terrified right now about where the sermon might be going, right? Like, where is this thing headed? Some of you might know a little bit about Jelly Roll, and you might know that this guy, well, he was arrested like 40 times. And you might be asking, isn't this the guy that went to prison for aggravated assault? And I'm like, yep, that's him. Isn't that the guy that used to be a drug dealer? Yeah, that's Jelly Roll. And he used to cook drugs in his own kitchen and then distribute them to people? Yeah, that was him. Yep, that's who he was. And this guy, didn't he become a Christian? The answer is yeah, he became a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And didn't he sing a song like a hard-fought hallelujah with this guy named Brandon Lake, one of the top Christian artists out there? And like, yeah, here he is. He's worshiping hard with getting his praise on with Brandon Lake. He's doing it. And some of you might go, but wait a minute. Doesn't he still swear sometimes? And like, yep, he swears. And some of that finds its way into his music. And so you might be going like, so then why are you recommending we listen to Jelly Roll? I'm not, all right? Just be really clear. I'm not recommending you listen to Jelly Roll. I'm just telling you I was listening to Jelly Roll. I was listening to a song. And it comes from an album that he put out that I think it could be a great sermon series if we ever preached on the album title, not necessarily the songs in it, but it's called Beautifully Broken. I'm like, man, that is such a cool album title. And in it, there's a song called Unpretty. I was listening to the song. I started thinking about my life, and I started thinking about the life of some of my friends, and I sent it out to a handful of my friends, and I actually sent the song to three people that are really good friends of mine, all of which are recovering addicts. Every one of them immediately responded to it. Like, real quick, listened to the song, sent it back going, that's amazing. And as I was listening to the song myself, not my story, his story, not my detail, his detail, but it allowed me a chance to really think about my story, and not just way back when, but right now. Like then and now, the good that I created space for in my life and the bad. And the really beautiful that I created space for in my life and the not really beautiful at all, quite ugly. The really helpful stuff and the really harmful stuff. And I just want to share the lyrics with you of it. Here they are right here. Been a broken down car on a side street. Ever feel like that in your life? I mean, he's just putting it out there. Been a broken down car on a side street. Nearly lost it all on a bad week. I was praying for change. How could only 12 steps feel so far away? So many lies, I stopped counting. Trying to walk a straight line felt like trying to move a mountain. I was praying for change, would have died had I have stayed the same. I hate the man I used to be, but he'll always be a part of me. Right now, looking at my past, I know it's unpretty. Can't hide the pain that I've been through. Wear my scars like my tattoos. The man who I was wrong, but he's the one that built me. And then he jumped into another part of the song saying this. Been the whiskey glass left half empty. Seen the bright lights a few times, and that's what saved me. That part of the song, like I lost it. I'm like, this is so good. Because I know so many people, and it's part of my story. It's your story. And maybe our bottom wasn't as deep as others. And maybe yours was really, really, really deep. And you hit the bottom. But like seeing the bright lights a few times, telling the story of a moment in his life where he's like, man, I've seen it a couple of times where I thought the gig was up. I was at the bottom, dwelling at the bottom, and found out that Jesus is a bottom dweller. He was down there with me, and that's what saved me. Ain't no stranger to the pain. The ones who love me all feel the same. With every one step forward, felt 10 steps back. A lot of years in the dark felt just like that. I never thought I'd see the day when I'd forgive myself and say, like, say what? Say what, Jelly Roll? What do you have to say? And he's been saying it. He's been standing before people and saying it. And what would you say if that were your story? Or even with your story, what would you say? Because I know what I would say, and I know what I say, and I know what I wanna say for the rest of my days, as long as God gives me breath, and it is, thank you, Jesus. We just sang it. We just sang it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the saving you are still doing in me. Thank you for the way that you touched me. Thank you for the way that you healed me. Thank you for how you continue to make me into the man that you've always longed for me to be, that you created me to be. And I actually believe that maybe the most important thing that we will ever do, or at least it's right up there, is to create space where God can do his work inside of here. To give God access to space inside of us where he can do the work on the inside to forgive and to heal and to restore and to make us into whom he wants us to be, that we might not be the people that we used to be, but new creations in Christ, to create space that God can fill. And if we walk away here today with just that, I think it's worth being here today to understand that we can actually do that. This right here, that we have the ability to create space that God will fill. That's a massive statement, but you and I have the ability to actually create space that God will fill. In order to get at that, I wanna jump into the scripture with you. We're gonna be in the book of Genesis. We're gonna be in 7 chapters in the book of Exodus. Then we're gonna make our way to the book of Acts chapter 2, because today actually is the birth of the church. It's our birthday. Happy birthday to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 to be reminded of what actually happened as the church, God launched the church into the world. Okay, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, what we read is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then at the beginning of each one of the days of creation, like in day 1, we see it in verse 3, and then verse 6, and then in verse 9, and verse 14, 16, same thing, verse 20, 24, 26. What we see is at the front end of each day of creation, God says the same thing. Or maybe a different way of saying it would be, the author recorded the words of God, that God was doing the same thing on each day of creation. Day 1. And God said, God speaking. This is what he's doing. And then day 2, just gonna take the first 3 words. It actually records it this way. And God said, day 3. And God said, day 4. And God said, see a pattern here? Because it is absolutely a pattern. Day 5. And God said, day 6. And God said, if you were to go to all the verses in verse 3 and 6 and 9 and 14, you would see it's recorded that way. Every day of creation, and God said, and then what he said. And what God actually said was this. On day 1, God said, let there be light. If you bring up the next slide, Angie, please. God said, let there be light. And so there's light, not necessarily the sun, the star, and the moon yet. just that there's light where there was once only darkness. And God said, let the waters above separate from the waters below. That's day two. Day three, the waters below, he does something with. That's on the earth. It begins to form oceans and seas and rivers. And the sad thing is that these beautiful rivers, pristine, don't have a single fish to catch in them, right? And so there are no brown trout in it yet. But on day four, God puts the sun and the moon and the stars into the sky, and we go, yes, it's beautiful. And then God said on day five, well, I'm going to put the fish, the brook trout and the brown trout and the rainbow trout, put them into the rivers, and I'm going to put the birds up into the air. Day six, God said, animals on the earth and then human beings. At the end of day one, two, three, four, five, six, God doing the same thing, speaking. Day seven, he culminates by blessing the day and said, Sabbath. It's time to rest. Pretty amazing. Verse 28 of chapter 1, here's what God said after all of this. God blessed them, that's humankind, Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. But didn't I just say, if we could walk out of here with one thing, it would be this, that you have the ability to create space and God will fill it. But this was God 6 days in a row creating space, lots of it, and then said to you and to me, you go fill it. I'll create the space and you fill it. God created the space and gave us the ability to fill it. And so with that, I want to move to the book of Exodus. So in the book of Exodus, what we find is chapters 25 through 31, that's seven chapters. And in those seven chapters, what we have is seven divine speeches that take place, or God's speeches that are taking place. And in those God's speeches, what God is doing is very similar to what we just went through. And in each of these cases, we're not gonna read it all. That's seven chapters long, and seven chapters really only about this. It's about the building of a tent, and it's about how to furnish the tent. What I want it to look like. Seven chapters of like, are you serious? Details around how we're gonna decorate and use this tent that I'm asking you to make. And yet in it, we see a pattern in the seven divine speeches that is pretty familiar. And so if we could bounce to Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, it says, then the Lord said, watch this. First speech, second speech. Then the Lord said, third speech. Then the Lord said, we got a pattern going here. God spoke, God spoke, God said, God said. Again, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. The fourth speech, the Lord said. The fifth one, then the Lord said. The sixth one, in Exodus 31, verse 1, then the Lord said. We have the exact same pattern that we have in the book of Genesis, that God is speaking, God is speaking, God is speaking, God is speaking, and wouldn't it be something, and you already can see where this is going, if it culminated the same way the day of the story of creation, that we have the days of creation that take place culminated by the Sabbath day, and here we have God speaking again, culminated by the fourth or the seventh one. Then the Lord said, observe the Sabbath. The exact same pattern that we find in these seven chapters, that we find in the opening words of Scripture. Any chance this is a coincidence, because we have the same author, it's attributed to Moses, we have the same pattern, we have God doing the same thing, and it's culminating on the same day with the same thing, observe Sabbath rest. Any chance there's a coincidence here? And the answer is absolutely not. This is on purpose. But in this case, what is the purpose of all that God's speaking about this tent, all that God is telling them in the detail of the tent? And we find it in chapter 25, verse 1 and verse 8, where it says this. Then the Lord said, and what he said, verse 8, is this. Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will fill it. I will dwell among them. In other words, you create it, and I fill it. The book of Genesis, what do we have? God created it, and we fill it. He created all this enormous space. You multiply and fill it. In the book of Exodus, he said, you create the space, my home, my dwelling place among you, and here's what it's to look like, and here's how you're supposed to interact with me in the presence of it. There's so much around the filling of that. He said, I will fill it, that we're gonna talk about that in a month, because what happens is the glory of God comes down in such weight. It's called kavod, the Shekinah glory. It's such an amazing story that we don't have time to unpack all of it today, but in a month we're gonna pick it up. But God filled it. He came down and dwelt among them. And now to the book of Acts. So Genesis, this thread that's all the way through the Bible. We've got the book of Genesis. I created the space, you fill it. The book of Exodus, you create the space and God says, I'll fill it. Now to the book of Acts, this overarching, beautiful story of the birth of the church. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we read this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Why? Because they had seen the resurrected Jesus, many of them. Because they believed in the resurrected of Jesus. That's why. Because they were gathered. And Jesus said that they were to gather in Jerusalem. Tell them to go to Jerusalem. There, my Holy Spirit will come upon them. And they will then be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. This message is gonna go. They're gathered in one place, expectant, waiting on the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard in their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and the converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up. This is one of the most famous sermons that ever rolled out, because by the time he was done with the sermon, 3,000 people were cut to the heart. 3,000 people gave their lives over to Christ. 3,000 people got baptized on that day. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And they were. He went on to share a few more things that you might want to pick up on later today in the book of Acts, just to read the rest of it. But as he talked about this man whom we despised, as picked up in the prophet Isaiah chapter 53, he actually was the one that was hoisted up on the cross. They buried him. He resurrected. And you, what did you do with him? When God made his visitation to planet Earth, you put him on a cross and you crucified him, but he didn't stay dead. And they were like, what do we do now? Now what? Now what? Repent and believe. Amazing story. And what's happening here is amazing in itself, because if you go to Genesis, God spoke, he created. Then he said, you multiply and fill. Here in the book of Exodus, he says to them, you build it and you create it and I will fill it. And here, everyone, Acts 2, verse 4, it says that all of them, I didn't correct that one, Angie, sorry about that. It's supposed to say all. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. What? We're to fill the earth. God filled the temple with his kavod, his presence. And now we who he made, we whom he created, he came down and filled them. Them. As if they were the original Garden of Eden. Like, this is where God hung out with Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. You were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Now build a place so that I can be among you, because I'm among my people and I will fill this space. And over here it's, I made you. And there's no more tent that I need. You're it. You're my temple. I'm gonna fill you. My longing is to fill you, which means if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, this is not a small thing. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that means the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And when we think about that, I know sometimes even when we read language like this, we hear like wind and we hear fire and we hear words like pneuma, and that's a New Testament Greek word, or ruach, which is the Old Testament word. These words are a bit mysterious, like the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or this idea of wind and fire. But we are talking about God himself takes up residence in you. Because we believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes we wrongly have in our mind that because the Holy Spirit gets introduced to us kind of third in the Bible, that we have the Father, and then the Son comes, and then this Holy Spirit thing comes. It's not a thing. It is God, fully God. All of who God is the Holy Spirit. And how do we know this? We know it because in the very beginning, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, he said, let us make them in our image. Whose image? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead. Jesus was referred to in the Gospel of John that this is the Word. And nothing that was made was not made through him. Meaning everything that was made through him. Who was in the beginning? Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, creating everything that is, creating you. And then this expectant group that was gathered in Jerusalem, waiting for the Spirit God to take up residence in them. And it happened. Leads me all the way back to this, that you actually have the ability, because it's you, you have agency over your life. It kind of brings me back to Jelly Roll. You have agency over your life. My thoughts around that song. You have agency over your life to think about what space am I going to create in me for God to fill? Because you have the ability to create space that God will fill. Here's the question. What are you full of? Like, really? Like, what are you full of? Is it the stuff that is helpful or hurtful? Is it the stuff that is beautiful or ugly? Is it the stuff that is making for life or taking life away from you? What are you full of? And the reality is this, that it's probably a little of both of those. That it's not a binary thing, that some things are beautiful and some not so beautiful, and some things are hurtful and some things are really helpful and some things are of God and some things God actually wants access to. It's like Robert Mungers and the band, if the band's here, you guys coming up at this point, but the Robert Munger had this little song or little book that he wrote. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. Such a good little book. If you can get your hands on it, it's worth reading. But here's the analogy he gave, is that if our heart or these lives of ours actually have become like the Garden of Eden, he walked around with Adam and Eve and he wants to do that with you. And then you come over here and say, but then there's this place in Exodus chapter 25 through 31 that talks these seven divine speeches where God says, you create the space and I fill it. And now we have Acts chapter 2 where he's actually wanting to fill up us. Robert Munger said, your heart is like Christ's home. And there's a den where he just wants to hang out every morning with you. There's a dining room where he actually wants to sit down and converse around the table. There's like a sunroom that in the morning he would love to rise with you. There's the bedroom when you put your head to the pillow. That matters to him. That matters to him. And then one day Jesus is walking down the hallway of the house that is your heart. And he says, something smells in this closet. Like, wait a minute, Jesus. I give you access to every single room in this house. You ask for access to every single part of this, but that room, that's just kind of mine. I'm going to keep that door locked. I'm not going to give you access to that. Jesus was persistent. But I'm really embarrassed about what's behind the door. It's okay. I know you, and I love you. I know the story. Let's open it together. Let's begin to clean this thing out. That's my wonder today. Like, where's the space in your heart that maybe it's just because you're too busy? I get there sometimes, just too busy. And then he doesn't get access like he wants. I'm just going to invite us, just for a bit, I'm going to lead us in some prayer for you to have space with the Holy Spirit, that he could get access to these places in your heart, wherever that is, that he wants greater access in you. And so let's just spend a bit of time in prayer together. It is an amazing thing, almost too much for our minds to fully understand, that you are the God that dwelt in the heavens and began to speak, and rivers and oceans and mountains and stars and moon and sky just got formed. And then you looked at us I said, now go, be fruitful, be multiplying people, fill the earth, be my people in this world. And then to turn to the Israelites and to say to them, after the fall, after being expelled from the Garden of Eden, I want to dwell with my people. My presence will be among you. Build a place, a space for me to come. They created it, you filled it. But you weren't done yet. Your next best move, we see in the Gospel of Acts. We see post-resurrection. We see when the Holy Spirit came down and all of those who believed in you were filled by you, that you move in, you live in our hearts. Lord, you know the spaces and what they're filled with. Sometimes our days are so busy, we don't give thought to you. Lord, we are sorry. Some days to sit and dine with you, we're just a fast food people flying through, not sitting down to spend enough time with you for you to do the shaping of our lives. Lord, we're sorry. There are spaces in a house where we can hide in the darkness, shut the door, thinking even though we don't want to do what we do it. We find ourselves again with shame and guilt. We open that door to you right now. We need your help. We ask your forgiveness. We need you. Not just some small thing, but you, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, to restore and to heal us deeply where we've been wounded and act out of those wounds. That closet door has been locked shut. Pain that's behind it, the shame that's there. You're a good God, full of compassion and love. You said that I redeem my people for my own sake. I remember your sins no more for your own sake, because you love and you want a deep relationship with us. So we hand you the key to the lock. And the beginning of our healing just simply starts in agreeing with you. It's called confession. We agree. We need help. We agree. We've sinned against you and others. We agree. That we too have fallen short of your glory. We receive now your grace from the top of our heads. Wash us all the way down to the bottom of our feet. Heal us and restore us. Give us the courage where we need it. We want to follow you in this. Give us the courage where we need it to not keep this in a private thing just with you, but know that we belong to a family. And if we need help in any of these areas, or it would do our souls good to find someone safe, to do what it speaks in the scripture, to confess your sin to one another, we will do it, God. Because We want to create space for more of you. Create space that you long to fill, that you've been waiting to fill, that you desire to fill. So come, Holy Spirit. Move. Move. Move in me. Move in us. Bless us. Heal us. Restore us. Empower us to then go and just tell the story. With every last breath we have, I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I've been healed. I've been forgiven. He is making me into that man, into that woman that he's always longed for me to be. And we pray this in the power of your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.